everyone. It's good to see everybody today and to be together in this sacred space for worship. And we just like to ask you to lift up your prayer concerns or moments of joy. We have our guys in the corners. If you have anything you'd like to share with us, do we have any prayer requests to lift each other up in the life of the church, or any moments of joy you'd like to celebrate with us? I'll hand this back. There you go.
I'd like to ask for prayers for Bruce Sherman. Excuse me. He's been in the hospital last week and had a lot of tests, and something's wrong with his heart, so he's having further tests on Monday, early Monday morning. So please keep him in your prayers.
All right. Thanks, Marion. All right. Yes, lifting Bruce up. Anyone else? Aaron?
Mallory's mass on her ankle has returned. We prayed about that last summer, and it's returned. Doctors don't know what it is, so we're going to go see a podiatrist this week and see where we go from there, if we go to another specialist or we do MRI or what we do. So if you just send prayers that could go away again and stay away, that'd be great.
Go away and don't come back, yes.
My best friend, Kaylee, last week after church, she was brought home. And she started having complications again, so they took her to Beaumont in Royal Oak, where they decided she would have to have two more surgeries. One was this past week on Thursday, and another one will be tomorrow. So please, prayers that she'll make through that and recover okay.
Yes, thank you for updating us on that so we can pray going forward for Kaylee. Thank you. Anyone else?
Prayers for the family. My sister-in-law passed away this week, and she left a family of 9 children, adult ones.
Oh, my. Well, thank you for sharing that with us today as we continue on our prayer journey for the family. Yes.
I'd like to ask for prayers for me and my family, as my youngest granddaughter was diagnosed this week with polycystic kidney disease, a disease that took her brother's life a year ago. So we're all just devastated.
Could you give us her name?
Katie.
Oh, well, thank you for bringing us along and allowing us to surround you and the family and her with our prayers and our support. Oh boy, anyone else? Do we have any joys to lift us up this week? We're sincere for the prayer request, but we also like those moments where we can see the Lord's blessing amongst us.
Well, this isn't a joy. Well, kind of, because nothing bad happened. But as parents, women, parents, fathers, to tell your kids that saying no is okay, and to be there and be supportive of them when they come home to you or call you at 11 or 12 o'clock at night when a situation has happened and you don't know what to do, where to turn to, you look up definitions online. You do the best that we can do as parents to protect. I'm a helicopter mom from the word go. I hover. I definitely do that. But when I'm not there to protect somebody, it takes on something totally different. So make sure that you have that open communication with your kids, your grandkids, kids in the church, whoever, kids in the streets. It is so important. It can be from someone kissing you and you not wanting it, to you saying no, to it going further. But stand beside your kid. Don't accuse. Don't have those thoughts, because at 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning, when you're alone as a parent, thinking of those things like, what did I do wrong? What did I do right? Just make sure that we keep those lines of communication open, because even in this Sanilac County, out in the armpit of Michigan, things happen, and we do need to watch out for our little ones.
You need to be from this area before you say armpit of the area, right? So just to be aware, if you have any friends that enjoyed that, make sure they're from the area before they say that. So, no, but thank you. We absolutely need to keep the wisdom of being a parent or grandparent or caregiver amongst us all the time, as that wisdom seems like it continues to change and take on different circumstances. Anyone else?
Yep.
I have a real quick joy. Our pyramids that line our altar and a pulpit and a lectern, of course, Marilyn Stoliker had replaced some beautiful ones for us. Mr. Stoliker finally made me a cabinet, or us a cabinet, so that we can store the pyramids so they're not falling down and getting dirty or getting wrinkled or torn. So I want to say thank you, Bob and Marilyn, for all that you do. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right.
Just an update on our food and fellowship yesterday. We had a very nice time. We served 21 people, so good turn.
Right. Huh. You know, if you go back to the Stolikers for just a second, when we shared our stories, right, last year, it revealed so much about our lives and our history, and I just think it's interesting, the more and more we find out that you've done behind the scenes that decorate our sanctuary and allow our worship services and our celebrations to go forward, so the fact that we don't know some of that speaks a lot to your humility, but thank you for always saying yes when we have a need. Appreciate that. Anyone else?
I wanted to thank everybody for all the prayers for my niece. That was flight carried out last week. She finally got to go home Friday. And she's back up to the Sioux, but she still needs a lot of prayers because they don't have all of the information yet.
For continued recovery, but that's a good sign that we're home. Okay, good. Yes. Anyone else? No? Do we have any announcements that are printed in the service?
Discipleship meeting is at 6:30? It said 6:30 up there, Beth. Thank you. Okay, it's at 6.
So just for clarity, the discipleship
yes.
meeting is at 6 p.m.? Oh, my goodness. All right, let's do this again. So for everyone, at 6:30 on Tuesday, Tuesday at 6:30, there will be a discipleship meeting at 6:30 on Tuesday.
And this one I know for sure. We're having UMW at my house at 3 o'clock on Thursday because some of the people will be involved with Sadie Frederick's memorial at
yes.
2. So yes. See y'all at 3 o'clock at my house.
All right. And again, just for my clarity, discipleship at 6:30 on Tuesday. Okay. All right. Sorry. You got to say it out loud, right, to get it. Anyone else? Do we have any birthdays that we're celebrating this week? Russ is celebrating a birthday? Well, all right. And Aaron? Riley and Russ's birthday on the same day, right? Okay, excellent. And so it's been that way for your whole life, right? That you've been sharing that birthday? Okay, good, good. Yes. He's how many? One? 1 year old, and that was yesterday? St. Patrick's Day? Excellent. That's great. Did he have to wear green? I hope you didn't pinch him if he didn't. Oh, good, good, good. Covering the bases. Yes. Kevin's got a birthday. Kevin, your birthday is this week? What day is it? Oh, today? Fantastic. Well, I'm sorry, Russ and Riley, what day was it? Or what day is it? Thursday. Okay. Yes, Angela. Wow, Thursday's a big day for birthdays. Wow. Hey. Anyone else? Well, we might be able to not look at everyone before the song gets over, okay? So let's see what we can do. You can say one thing. No.
Mary Ball's birthday is Wednesday.
Wednesday. All right. Well, and she answers the phone on Wednesday, so that way we can really bombard her with phone ringing off the hook and in a kind way time that out where some of you stop in and some of you call and overwhelm her with the joy of birthdays. Thank you, Russ, for bringing that up. Anyone have an anniversary this week? Do you have any anniversaries? No? Okay. Well, let us go ahead and hand things over to our bell choir who's here today, our peals of praise. And as she assumes the position, we're always thankful for Crystal, your opportunity to worship with us. It's kind of a family reunion a little bit when you can be here with us, and we're thankful for the sounds of music. All right, as we've rang in this time for us, prepared for us a place, can we please stay in that moment of joy, and would you please celebrate in prayer with me, and we ask for the Lord's blessing on our gathering together today. Almighty God, into your presence again we find ourselves in this day and this hour, and Lord, we would ask for your Holy Spirit to continue to overwhelm us with the directions we should go and bless us with wisdom and encouragement for whatever we're walking through this time, Lord, that we could put away those distractions and just allow you to speak in and through us in this time. Would you be glorified in all that is said and done in this space and prepare us for our life of discipleship when our hour is over. In Christ's powerful name we ask these things. Amen. All right, I will invite everyone to stand if you're able as we sing together the song of our faith. We have a story to tell the nations, and it's the story of all stories. Number 569, we have a story to tell the nations.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. You may be seated. And as we find our seats, we'll continue this time of praise when we sing together in our seats number 301, Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross. Such a precious time to be. Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross. Boy, reminding us of Christ's gracious life and the patience it takes to walk and be a disciple of Christ. Would you agree that this is a long journey, whether it's long in celebration or it's long in suffering or it's long of enduring? Being a disciple of Christ is one that is long, and it takes a patient foot and an encouraging foot towards the Lord to keep us near the cross. We have our children's time. If we have any children that would like to come up. Come on up. Many of you noticed the flower here that was on the altar. It's a single rose, isn't it? Right. How are you? Good to see you. What's that? Yeah. Well, I have a question for you. How many of you have ever heard the expression, or somebody might say, stop and smell the roses? You ever heard that before? You've heard it before? Yeah, what's that mean to you? Do you know what that means, or have you just heard it before? You just heard it before, heard some people say it before? Have you heard it too? Yeah, a little bit. Let's ask the adults behind us. How many of you ever heard or said the expression that included the line, stop and smell the roses? You just put your hands up to maybe not know it's just the kids that have heard that. Well, it's interesting because we have a rose here, all right? And it's interesting because so often when we put flowers on the altar, it's because we want to celebrate something or remember something. Something is very important to us, right? And so it's important not only when we see the flowers on the altar, but also that when we come to church, we take time, right, to remember and understand all the things that we see. How many of you have come to church and ever had someone smile at you, say good morning, and put their hand out to shake it? Have any of you experienced that? Only a few of you? Okay, well, they might be doing it over your head, because I know that we have greeters here that do that all the time, right? Have you ever had anybody smile at you at church, right? Look at you. What about snack time when we do fellowship time? Have any of you ever enjoyed anything over there, maybe got some help or somebody gave you something to drink over there? Anybody? I think that's really neat. And so when we're not only celebrating some celebration, whether it's a time, announcement, or a person on the altar, but also when we come to church, we need to really take time to smell the roses, don't we? And what that means is that we need to take our time and appreciate the really sweet things that happen here, right? We have different teams of people that welcome us here, make sure that everything's okay, open the door for us, ask us if we need anything. Do you know that Pastor Matt was kind of feeling sick over the wintertime? You know how sometimes you get sick and your throat gets really sore and it's hard to talk sometimes? You had it, so you know what I'm talking about. You have a really bad cold. It stinks, doesn't it? Especially when you like to talk just like me, right? Is that okay to say, right, right? We like to talk, okay. But sometimes when our throat gets dry, we need some water. And do you know that without even asking, somebody got Pastor Matt some water because he needed that? Wasn't that a really sweet thing to do? I mean, that's what our church does, is continue to help each other out and lift each other up. We send our prayer requests. So I would just ask that when we see this single flower here today, we could not only remember why it was given, but also for us always to literally stop and smell the roses when we're at church and appreciate all the wonderful people we have here. Yeps, did you have something? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes it's to remember people that are really special, either that aren't here anymore this side of heaven or just aren't with us. That's right. And did you have something? She just gave you a cough? Well, that's not the gift we'd like to get from our siblings, is it? Wow. Well, that might be a whole nother lesson, I think, huh? That's right, and we like to remember Daphne because she brought us a lot of joy, isn't it? And we don't ever want to forget what a sweet-smelling rose that Daphne was in our lives, was it? She made us belly giggle, didn't we, like from down here? I know. Okay, can we get in our prayer positions as we ask Jesus to help us not only see the roses in our life, but all the people that are so precious to us? Can we do that? Let's get in our prayer positions. Let's fold our hands, close our eyes, and bow our heads. And you guys can repeat these words after me, okay? Let's try it. Dear Jesus, thank you for everybody and every flower that you put before us. Let us be patient and recognize them and mark them on our hearts. Let us be a good flower to others. Bless Mom and Dad and everyone gathered here today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I think we have an order, so everybody stand up, and we'll try to look for who will be our leader today. Miss Erin has the flag that will lead us downstairs. This week today, as the children are going down, reminding of us of our future, our promise, the beautiful faces and potential that's there. As they're making our way back, I can't help but take a look and remember the two families that are mentioned in the back of our bulletin there as we continue to walk by, and we're so appreciative of the fragrant roses of our life. I'd like to draw our attention to what has been our tradition for the season of Lent, is being able to say the Apostles' Creed together, and those are on the screens for us. And so we can stay seated for this, but as they pop up, if you haven't memorized it yet, you can follow that along. It's on page 881 in your hymnal. And we say these things aloud if you haven't been with us for a while or this is your first time during our season. We're going to say these words as one body and one voice. Would you please read them together? I believe. It's important for us to state those moments of our faith, because so often we can get lost in sometimes the things and the stuff. But when we have a statement like that, a credo, something that drives our lives, that's really a statement for saying this isn't just what we believe, but what we strive to live out and remind us who Jesus is and why he is indeed our Lord. Something else that we've been doing for a long tradition here has been a good one with prayer. We lead that forward because as disciples of Christ, we're always looking for the right words. We're always looking for ways to articulate how we feel. And we can't help but be inspired by this response from Jesus that forms the foundation of this prayer. Could we please say together again in our congregational voice as one body the Lord's Prayer together? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power,
magic buttons here. The piece that we're going to play for you today is a challenge for the bells. Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho, and I'm sure you know the story of Joshua. You know, he had a small army, and he was going to take over, he was told to take over Jericho, a huge city, and probably six stories high, a wall around it, probably six stories high. And Joshua with his army, there's a moat around it, of course, and Joshua and his army are going to take over the city, according to God. And it's like, right, you know, I don't think I can do this. And God said, you know, Joshua, I will help you. Just trust me, I will help you. It's kind of like us in our daily needs. God helps us. So he told them to walk around the city every day for 6 days, which they did, carrying the Bible, as we would say, and on the seventh day, go around it seven times quietly. Now, can you imagine the people looking out of the guards, if you would, looking out of all of the different stories, watching these people quietly walking around, like, what is wrong with these people? And then to make, on the seventh day, after they came back, make a huge noise, and the walls are going to start, they're going to fall down. Right. Now, if God told you that story, would you really believe that? Well, they didn't either, but it happened. So the moral of the story is, trust God.
Thank you. And we'll also be having the bell choir playing for us the offertory later in the service. In this moment, we've taken a look, and Crystal, can I grab the stand again from you, if I could, for... Well, actually, you know what? I don't need it because I only have this. We're going to take a look at Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. And if you wanted to follow along, it is on page 735 in your pew Bible. And we've walked through this entire season so far of our Lent season when we've been here, has been on these covenants, these new promises. And these moments of covenants is not only dwelling so much on the past, but bringing us to something new, this new covenant. And last week when we were gathered together for communion, it reminded us when we partake of the cup, there is a new covenant that covers us, a new covenant that will not be broken. But we also have to fully try to understand that we live in a post-resurrection time where when we're looking at a lot of the prophets, they're foretelling this great time of a new covenant, a new promise of a revealing of the coming Messiah. Now, of course, we're waiting as a people, aren't we, for the second coming, right, for the return of Christ. So we're used to understanding what it means to wait, but it's still so important to understand that there's a time here when they were waiting on the arrival of Jesus, that when we have to celebrate on Resurrection Sunday on Easter, they have yet to know that celebration. So let's keep that in mind when we take a look at these words. Again, that comes from Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31 through 35, or through 34, I'm sorry. A new covenant. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Verse 32. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days have passed, declares the Lord. I will put my law and write it within them. I will write it on their minds and their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to one another, know the Lord, for they shall know me from the least of these to the very greatest of these, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. It's interesting when we look at the prophetic book of Jeremiah, it's not usually a very hope-filled, joyful, easy read. Sometimes it can be a bit of a struggle, but we find this new covenant promise here, and it's important for us as we walk through the season of Lent to not only remember the things that the Lord is going to do, but we take faithfulness in understanding the foundation of promises that the Lord has already kept. Now, in these moments, it reminds us that this new covenant, why is there a need for a new covenant? Why is the Lord declaring everything? Because this covenant is now broken. And it's reminding us from the Sinai covenant from the time of Moses that the law was written down on tablets and they were destroyed and need to be built again. These laws come down, and here's these moments where we're living in this time where there are only a select few that can really help you understand or to help you know God, as the phrasing here says, that some people, greatest and least of these, will all know the Lord because he will write the law on their hearts and on their minds. We won't have to go and be taught know the Lord. It's important for us to think about that for a moment because remember, before Jesus came, he walked amongst the people, right? He walked amongst us. He talked to the common folks. He invited everyone to the table. There was no stature. Everyone was welcome. And that's that same moment of the kingdom of God, as it was open from Christ for all people of all walks of life. It was to be including on everyone. Well, in this moment, when the prophetic book of Jeremiah was speaking of this moment, you had to learn from a priest because there wasn't that common knowledge. You had to have a deciphering or an understanding of the scriptures because that wasn't brought to every single house and every single village. So it's interesting that God is saying to the people, there will come a time soon in these days that the new covenant will include that you will know me very intimately. All of you will not have a barrier to knowing me. I will be revealed to you because I will write my love for you in your mind and in your heart. You won't have to go to someone and they would have to explain to you who the Lord is so that you would know God. But soon, the prophet is saying, a time will come when you will know intimately who I am. I will walk with you in your life. I will speak to you, and you will know me because I walk beside you every day. For us to see these moments and to see these new covenants, we've talked in the weeks coming before that a covenant or a promise is only good as those that's making it. And in this moment, we can see God, because in the Sinai covenant that God made with the people of Israel, there was a promise, but there was a condition on that, wasn't there? There was a, you will inherit all of these things, and I will be your God. You will be my people, right? That means you will claim me, and I will claim you, and I will provision for you. I will provide for you. I will keep you safe. Did God ever turn back on that faithfulness? Was God ever the one that said, nope, you know what? Today, I'm not going to follow through on that covenant. No, God's faithfulness is perfect, but it reveals to us that we, the people, continually turned away from God. We didn't honor him with our lives. But God says, even in the midst of that, even though you broke the covenant by you saying us, we as the people, though I was their husband in those times. It's interesting in this moment because a way we might be able to better understand that is because there is something sacred, whether you're married yourself, you've been married, or you've been to a wedding, there's always this sacredness to these vows, right? Not these flip coin promises, but these sacredness of vows. And we come as a witness, don't we? I mean, even if we go to a courthouse, right, to make things simple, you still have to have what? A witness, right? Somebody has to witness these things that you're promising, saying, and doing. And so God's saying that even though I came to you and I was your husband, sort of like in a marriage, that I remained faithful to you, you strayed from me, even though I was faithful to you. And in one of these moments where I understand whether it's us or it's people in our lives, we are aware that there are times in this world when we're looking at the marriage, the husband and the wife, the bed that we have here, that sometimes there's an unfaithfulness there. And it becomes this moment where God is saying that in this moment where there was unfaithfulness, I wouldn't leave it to chance that we would be able to find a way back to one another, but I was still faithful to you even when you weren't faithful to me. And this is important because, my dear friends, even best of intentions, would you agree that in our union with Christ, sometimes we stray? Would you agree that sometimes we're not as faithful as we should be, given the responsibility that we have from Christ's blood? But God says, there will come a time when I am keeping this covenant. There won't be any conditions. Of course, God expects a response from us, doesn't he? God respects a faithful promise that we surrender our lives and live a life according to Christ and be a disciple of Christ and model our lives after Jesus, but said it's not going to be like the Sinai covenant that I had with you. When you stray from me, there's not going to be this penalty that separates us and grieves me, though we still grieve when we sin against God. But Jesus is that new covenant that the prophet was talking about is coming. My dear friends, we live in the day of this new covenant. It's for us. For then in that moment of history, for every generation that comes before, we are recipients of that covenant. We are covered and stained by the blood of the spotless Lamb, the sinless Lamb, Jesus the Christ. We are marked Christ's. And because we are marked with a blood that can't be washed away, that is perfect and pure, that God's forgiveness, grace, and mercy will extend to us always. We can't use it up. We can't burn it out. But did that change how we look? Does knowing that we can never outstretch the arms of Christ, does that change us to living as a people who doesn't take that grace and that covenant for granted? Do we understand what it really means to grieve our Savior? Jesus suffered on the cross, and we get that gruesome picture, and as we continue to walk through, and Holy Week will soon be upon us, we take this moment of celebrating. The next week, Palm Sunday, we celebrate the arrival of Christ in Jerusalem for the last time, and by week's end, Jesus will take his last breath before his resurrection. In one short week period of time, there's a celebration and there's a death. Would that remind us how quickly our lives go by and how quickly things and situations can be turned, that before realizing it, we might grieve the Lord in a way we may never have intended. We might grieve each other in ways that we might not have intended. We might find ourselves distressed in this very moment. But the hope that we live under a new covenant, that we haven't gone too far outstretched to outrun the love of God. My dear friends, as we walk through this season, this late week in our Lent journey, this little Easter, this Sunday, this break from those things, can we truly celebrate the newness of God and that covenant promise that we are recipients of? The hearers upon hearing this could take hope and joy that Jesus was coming, that new covenant would be upon them.
But we have to remember, but it wasn't that day. There was still so much suffering, but a hope that one day their suffering will be wiped away. Does that sound true to any of us today? Because even though we have that hope and it can't be extinguished, are any of us suffering today in this season? Are any of our families grieved? But today we trust in that covenant promise that even though we are suffering or we're grieving or we're struggling, we are waiting for the second coming of our resurrected Lord. Hallelujah. But in this moment, we do have this promise has been fulfilled. We do walk as a resurrection people, that this grace covers us. So yes, Jesus has walked this world with us, has experienced suffering with us, and he will not leave us alone. Even though the hour draws dark at times in our lives when it's hard to see the light of this world. I would submit to us this covenant, this promise from the prophet, that we can look and those promises are still here. We are still waiting upon the Lord, that we cannot go sideways of God's promise, because in God's perfect faithfulness, God will keep God's promises. I'd like us to read together, it has been our practice through this entire Lent season, is saying Wesley's covenant prayer as we are United Methodists in our Wesleyan heritage and this tradition. And I would invite us all to say these words out loud. This is a prayer. It's not a credo like the Apostles' Creed. It's not a prayer like the Lord's Prayer. But this is simply a covenant prayer at this time in this season. Would these words that you speak out loud be in a prayer form so they're not just spoken, but they're meant from our hearts and our voices to God's? Could we please read these words together?
I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Grant me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee, or laid aside for thee. Exalted for thee, or brought low for thee. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all.
Ask for our ushers to come forward today as we prepare to give our tithes and our offerings, as we give back to the Lord from the blessings that we have already received in abundance.
Thank you.
Lord, we submit these gifts and ask for your perfect will to be done through them. Lord, we thank you for the ways in which they've come, and Lord, we ask the houses that you bless from which they came. Lord, that they would multiply and see that your ministries and your will be done with them. In Christ's powerful and matchless name we pray. Amen. All right. Let us sing together this song of our faith, this great song of our faith, 377, It Is Well With My Soul. 377, It Is Well With My Soul. My dear friends, as we come in this moment of sending of benediction, could we go forward in knowing so often that we quote the scripture that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and that peace passes all understanding, that we have this peace within us because even if life is a struggle or it's difficult in these times that we stand and walk in, we have a hope that can never be extinguished. We have a light that will never go out. A warmth that will never leave us to the cold. Could we seek this perfect peace and know the glory of our Lord? Could our hearts also, my friends, be burdened? Because if someone doesn't know Christ, then that perfect peace that we know is denied to their restless hearts. Could we go fishing for people as Jesus taught us? Could we go forward today knowing the perfect peace? And we could go forward today hoping to offer that peace in Christ's name as we go forward. Let us do this as we not walk alone, but strengthen and encourage by the full guiding power of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.